Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Well, folks, are you still possessed by the problem? Are you spending more and an inordinate amount of time, or more and more time, in discussing, you know, the cost of gas and everything else? I mean, we can cut to the chase, right? We can actually just say, let's just get rid of this guy by using the Constitution. He wasn't inserted. He wasn't chosen by the Constitution. And the Constitution has a remedy. It actually has a solution. So what I really want to do, I may have a lot of things I want to cover, but what I really want to do is I want to cut to the chase and start going through all of these issues so that I can kind of put these to bed. The sooner I get these done, then the sooner I can kind of post these up, and that way you'll have a copy of, you know, the bullets that I used. Many of them I just kind of used as, you know, an outline, and some I actually read through. Again, they may not make complete sense, but you have access to me by calling 425-270-5416, and I can help you walk through these if you have questions. But if you listen to the past couple of months' radio shows, then you'll actually hear me cover every single one of these issues. And we kind of have gone through these in sequence to, you know, from the beginning to the end. Right now, we're on page 32 of 40. And we're covering the peaceable assembly, the right to peaceably assemble, okay? And so what we want you to do is we want you to get engaged in the solution. We have a civil society. We're not supposed to be a bunch of thugs and riotous people. We're not. As a matter of fact, if you really look at all the partying and the obsessive behavior with getting drunk and serial, serial inebriation, just inebriating people, whether that be opioids, whether that be by any form of drugs, alcohol, basically escaping from reality, we're not supposed to be a riotous society. As an enlightened society, we should be actually putting away these types of things. I mean, moderation is key to a civil society. And those people, you can tell, it's people, they don't care about moderation anymore. I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. Gimme, 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 gimme. So if you kind of look at the importance of having a, you know, what it takes to have a good society, well, I can tell you, education is key. And the only way we're going to take back the education is by getting the government out of it. And the only way we're going to get the government out of education, get them out of all of the things that they're doing, is through Republic Review and holding our government and our public servants accountable. We have the power, folks. I've been telling you, we have the power to do this. And the states are the only ones with the authority to force the federal government into compliance. This is why we have to take back our states. The federal government now controls our states, and they tell them everything that they have to do. And we need to tell them, no, you're not doing that anymore. Anyway, as you know, this show is sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. In addition, we also highly endorse you to subscribe to the Washington Conservative Chronicle. And also, we want you to go, if you're a part of an organization, if you are just learning and trying to understand the Constitution, check out constitutioneducation.us. If you need some particular curriculum, you need something to help you understand a particular topic, ask Keith Reuters. But don't forget to give him some love. He needs help, and he works. Basically, everything he's doing is on a very fixed budget, so any type of help you can give him, he'd appreciate. But believe you me, I know him. He does absolutely, it humbles him, but he needs it. Anyway, in addition to that, we also have Ad Local, and I didn't get a chance to tell you this, but if you go to Reclaiming the Republic and you go to the Take Action page, we actually have the link that'll take you to the Ad Local campaign website. So if you click on that link, they'll show you what they're offering and the services they provide you for $2,500. And so if you look at it, for $2,500, it's a nice package. The question is, I'm not sure what it costs on the sustaining and all of that other stuff. And in all honesty, I'm thinking that that package that they give you as a kickstart would only basically be moved into a service mode to where you wouldn't have to basically update. I'm hoping that you'd be able to take over and administer and do this stuff yourself, that you're only paying for the domain name, hosting, that stuff on the back end. So anywho, check out AdLocal at adlocal.com, and also we have them on our links page. If you go to our link, other links on the Reclaiming the Republic website, we also have them there for you so you can kind of look at what they've got, and we point to that same campaign website. Anyway, that being said, we got through the obligatories. We have our comment line, 425-270-5416, and what we were talking about was the right of assembly. So let me get through this because we need to close on all these issues so we can get into the ratification debates. It's time to get into that. And so as we were talking about, you know, getting out and assembling to basically hold government accountable and going out into the street and yelling and screaming, that's not order. That is not a civil society. That is a bunch of, just a bunch of spoiled brats. Wah, wah, wah. Right? If you look at a civil society, we have the mechanism already, which is petitioning with our constitutional right, using the right of petition for the redress of grievances. Protesting and blocking access to commerce. And this is what we said yesterday. Religious worship. Speech. You know, blocking speech or peaceable assembly in areas designed for peaceable assembly is absolutely okay, but not out in the streets, not on sidewalks. This violates the rights of others. In other words, they created a society that actually protected the rights of everybody. The lonesome person that's just going to work and just minding their own business, literally minding their business. You don't have a right to disturb them. You don't have a right to go in and basically take away their business. If you don't like what they're doing, bring it up with government, with your petition. Get government to do their job if they're actually doing something illegal. But just because somebody does something that you don't like, the one thing you should be grateful for, if somebody's doing something you don't like, be grateful you live in America where you can be upset and not like it. You have a right to be upset. But they have a right to be able to do and provide for themselves as long as they do so within the law. Personal property damage, and basically, when you look at personal property, it's not just actually doing the damage itself. It's not just defacing the property. It's also keeping people from actually making money. So when all of a sudden your streets are bogged down or nobody can walk through your door, that provides a financial damage. It's almost the same as having somebody burn your building down. Folks, it is all hostility that is unacceptable in a civil society. So we must, again, I can't emphasize this enough, we must actually start demanding and enforcing the laws in protecting our rights. We have laws that protect us from this kind of crap. And we must have these things enforced so that we can conduct our affairs and commerce along with the right of the flow of commerce, not allowing people to punish those who choose to deploy these types of tactics. In other words, we need to actually stop these folks from being able to hurt anybody. Bottom line, you want to engage, you want to do your civil duty, then you create a petition and get your butt down into City Hall or down into your county commissioners or where you have your grievance, and you let them know, hey, you have a constitutional responsibility. But just because people are being blessed and just because people, you know, have an education doesn't mean you have a right to go down and say, hey, these people don't have a right to do this, and be this indolent brat, this petulant, I'll just say, cyst in society, to allow yourself to just fester and infect everybody. Again, the framers created a civil society. This was all based on enlightenment. And so states need to actually start going after these folks. We need to start implementing, you know, tiered level punishment. In other words, if you have a person that becomes a perpetual protester, then it seems to me like they're really an anarchist and they're an ideologue wanting to cause harm and damage. They get off on it, almost like an arsonist. And folks, if you don't think that there are people like that, you have not been reading the news, because we have found that they've had protesters that have traveled from the East Coast into Tennessee, Kentucky, and all the way to the West Coast and back and forth. And they're being bussed around because these protesters are the agitators that get people to kick it up a notch, to, you know, start throwing rocks, to start throwing Molotov cocktails, those types of things. So we have to go after and hold all of those who deploy anarchy tactics by harming society and trying to stop those people who are trying to stop commerce. We have to stop them to whatever degree. Now, I absolutely have a business plan that will help your city, your county, your state actually, you know, get a hold of these people and hold them all accountable. That is the biggest key here. We have to get every single one of these guys. We have to get every single one of these guys to be held accountable. You want to stop this stuff? You want to actually get back to civil discourse? Then make everybody accountable and make them serve the punishment that they deserve and take it. Anyway, we'll get into the punishment right after this. We'll be right back after two promos. Thank you so much.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so just so we are clear on this, when people actually start attacking society, in other words, they're doing this. Let's put this into kind of a realistic paradigm. You know, we as a society it's absolutely, you know, unacceptable murder, whether that be killing of an adult or abortion of a child, or whether the harvesting of a life. It is absolutely repugnant, and it is the most grievous sin a person can actually, perform and or commit. And so we have to start looking at what we would consider, you know, violent and or the demeaning and so forth. And as we understand how people inflict, you know, levels of control, levels of harm on people, you know, rape is one of those things. And as a matter of fact, in prison, rape is used to actually break people. And as a matter of fact, if you understand anything, if you understand anything about the sex trafficking industry, rape is the tool that they use to break the young person or the whoever. They hold them captive, they rape them, and they basically get them to become subjugated. And you, if you've never seen the inside, or I should say, if you've never heard about what how this goes on, I mean, Aaron Tilbury, I remember he was briefing me, or we interviewed him, and he talked about how it was like breaking of a horse, how they would actually break a horse to take the wild spirit out of the horse and domesticate them. This very similar process in domesticating or actually churning a person to where they believe that their life has no value other than to serve these particular people in basically having sex acts with anybody and everybody. And so when you really look at how repugnant this is, I mean, there are people that go into prostitution on their own accord. But most kids, they don't necessarily just jump into this. They get convinced that they're broken. They get convinced that they're worthless. And this is what happens. It's disgusting. I mean, when somebody goes down this path of causing that kind of harm, and what I want to liken this to is if you look at what the anarchists are doing, they're basically doing a very similar thing. It may not be a sexual rape, but they are raping our society. It may be a lesser degree, but we have to look at this as a very serious crime. They are raping our society of its liberty. They're trying to convince us that we shouldn't be trusted. We shouldn't be the ones in control. And all of this is being worked against us. We need to actually look at these people, because if you look at the people that are finally rising to the top and the level of corruption and evil that they've engaged in, from pedophilia and all of these other terrible things, folks, we need to hold these people accountable. I truly believe that anybody that actually comes forth, you know, they repent and all these things, you know, there are crimes if they've committed them, that those need to be worked out. But, you know, we have to allow people to get their lives right. But those people who are steeped and baked into, you know, their corruption and so forth, then, you know, if they don't come out on their own, then we have to do the job, you know, for them. Because we cannot allow them to linger in our society and basically pollute our society with the things that they're doing. This is why our vigilance as citizens in defending and protecting the Constitution, I'm telling you, we would not have all of these rampant crimes and all of these problems and paradigms that we have been indoctrinated into. We have been debased through the education system. We have been raped mentally, psychologically, philosophically. Folks, we need to start understanding what is going on. And this is why we're, you know, I'm going back through the same petition here. Why we have to understand all of these people, whether they're the servants or whether they're the public servants or whether they're these professional protesters, whether they're the professional educators, all of these people are playing a role in undermining our rights. And we need to, you know, basically ratchet up the rancor and and the punishment against these people. Should it be a capital punishment? Back in the old days, they used to hang somebody if they stole your horse, right? Well, if they're stealing our liberty, isn't that just as bad, if not worse? I mean, with a horse, you can at least still walk where you want to go. Without a horse, I mean. Without liberty, you can't do anything. Isn't it worse? Now, one of the things that the framers did, instead of inflicting capital punishment upon those who were aligned with the British crown, the Tories were kicked out. And this is where I'm going to inject in this concept. We need to really start considering deporting and telling people, you know, you're not suitable for America. You're not suitable to stay and live here. Tell us what nation you want to go to, and we will drop you there. You can take your, you know, the clothes on your back and whatever in your pockets, but we're going to seize all of your accounts. We're taking all of your property that you were either given or what have you, but you've done such harm that you no longer deserve to be here, and you can start over somewhere else. Because that's what they did to the Tories. And a lot of people don't like that, but it's better than be actually killing and giving people a capital punishment. Especially those people that, you know, are out in the streets knowingly, you know, inflicting harm upon us. Are you kidding me? There's no doubt in my mind they probably would have hanged all these people. Anyway, so states need to actually start creating these, you know, ratcheting up the crime, especially if you're a second-time offender. So, in other words, we want to be very forgiving. We want to have a just system. But when we actually start catching these people that are professionals, we need to start using a much tougher, and that's where we get into the deportation, those types of things. So, want to be clear here. It's not just scorched earth from, you know, from anybody holding up a sign. You know, the fact is we have to actually start thinking and understanding their paradigm, because they're not going to change their paradigm until, one, either they're forced or it's the only way they can to survive in our society. And they have to understand that if they want to survive in our society, they must change their paradigm, period. States need to actually, this is one of the things I think this is interesting, and I'm adding this so that you can actually understand what this means. States need, not the federal government, but the states need to share insurrection violators like a list or what have you with each other to improve their militia involvement in protecting their rights and enforcing the laws, and develop tactics to eradicate uncivil behavior. Again, if you're looking for a mechanism, a procurement, a contract, talk to me. I mean, I designed one that would absolutely, you know, go out and shut down a riot very quickly. And everybody that's involved in that riot would be caught. Everybody. Because the only effective way of stopping riots is being able to prove that if you're involved in the riot, you will be caught and you will be punished. Because, my friends, when they realize that they can't get away with it, they can't just slip away, then this is how we change the game. Because now they can't riot anymore, and it'll force them to actually use the system. Now, they may try to stoop to something different, but right now, the tool that really works and the tool that, you know, they've been empowered in, because look at, I mean, you right now have law enforcement in major cities that don't do anything. They let these people come and go in and out of the crowd. And you have no idea what they're doing and bringing in. Anyway, so the states need to share this information. And we also need to get a just government so that we no longer have to be bothered by all of this, that we get back into petitions, because we need a just government to do this, which means that our government has to open its arms to being petitioned. In other words, we need to start electing people that says, petition me, petition us. We're here to serve you by defending and protecting this Constitution. We're not here to give you a handout. We can't give you a handout. We have no authority, nor do we think that's good. It is not good for government to become the supplier of all. We need people that believes and understands that our limited government serves us best. And so, therefore, that is, I think, a very, very strong paradigm on these, what we call the petition for the redress of grievances. And it's only one, but actually there's probably about three or four in here that we should be able to extrapolate if you wanted to. You can make a big one. Anyway, the next topic we're going to get into is the militia. And so we can't talk about the militia, or I should say the unorganized militia alone. We have to talk about both sides of the militia itself and the unorganized militia. So to be clear, the Organized militia is a civilian military force capable and trained in projecting an organized deadly force. The militia's original design was county-centric in its configuration for deploying within the county and within the state. Its design was county-centric. The militia's enforcement, its basic function is the enforcement of constitutional laws to suppress insurrections and to repel invasions. You have invaders, it's right there in the Constitution that we're supposed to repel them, not allow them to slip in and then slowly give them access and enable them to act badly as non-citizens and then not change the paradigm and not assimilate, actually become hostile towards us to destroy us. This is crazy. We'll be right back after these two messages. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so the militia itself, and if you understand the Constitution with all the checks and balances, the militia is the ultimate check on unconstitutional government, because by inserting and demanding in the Constitution that the only way the laws of the Constitution can be enforced upon the people is by the people themselves. In other words, the militia shall be called forth to execute the laws of the Union. There you go, folks. I can't give you a better system, a better design. If you believe your liberties are being unjustly taken and unconstitutionally taken from you, then you have a right to not enforce those laws as a part of the militia. You have an obligation, because in serving the Constitution, this is why the design, because the good Lord knew that if we had to serve a person, that would create a level of power that person would become absolutely corrupt. However, the Constitution itself is, I don't want to say it's incorruptible, but it is much harder. It's to this day, it's not corrupted. There are some things, actually, I can't say that. The 17th Amendment and the 16th Amendment have corrupted it. And how do they do that? By taking the state suffrage, which was protected in Article 5 of the Constitution and still is. The 17th Amendment is actually a conflict and basically violates Article 5 of the Constitution. It should be wiped out because it has no validity because of its failure to address Article 5 in the Constitution. But more importantly, it doesn't need to be, because I believe the good Lord gave us, you know, with Biden and Delaware, he gave us the opportunity to actually rescind it because of the lofty, proudful attitude of Biden and the Delaware legislature. He got them to actually rescind their rejection and ratify it. And in so doing, he opened the door for the rest of America to undo this. That's how big of an idiot he is. Anyway, when we actually start looking at, you know, the enforcement and the checks and balances, this is a pretty perfect, I would say it's very close to perfect, folks. There's a few things that we need to fix, just a few things. But first, let's enforce it. Before we even consider making these fixes, but the two things that we actually, if you understand the process that we're talking in getting states on board, every state that gets on board with the Republic Review also needs to ratify, as they do this, before we even execute Republic Review, they need to start ratifying the very first amendment of the Bill of Rights, which would fix the apportionment down to 30,000 or 50,000 citizens per representative in Congress. So with 50,000 people, that means that Congress would then actually, you know, have, it would expand it to somewhere around 6,000. Now, see, here's the question, because if you really look at the time, I don't think they were counting children. I honestly think that when they were counting apportionment, they had to be voters and or adults. So I think when people are looking at the apportionment, I'm not sure if, because how many people lived in America? There were millions of people, right? And if, at the time the Constitution was signed, it was 30,000 persons for every representative. But if you look at how many people were in the House of Representatives, that didn't cover the 6 million people, slaves and all, right? Or the little over 6 million people that were there in 1790. And, or more than that, it may have been 9 million, but nevertheless, it would, Congress would have been much bigger at that point in time, but I think that they were really only representing maybe the registered voters or maybe just the adults. And actually, because they were representing and gave representation to 3/5 of a, you know, of a slave, to me means that they were counting adults. They weren't counting children or children that, you know, weren't in the system. In other words, 18 years or whatever, they're still living at home and still dependent on mom and dad or whatever. Anyway, so, I mean, that brings up a different point, but the whole point here is that we have these opportunities as we move with Republic Review in actually taking care of some of these imperfections or problems that we have. Now, the unorganized militia, just to be clear, the unorganized militia is a civilian body that is not capable of projecting organized deadly force. In other words, here's the thing. Do you have a right to create your own military force in America? Well, there's no law against it. But clearly, if we're to have militias, anybody that creates their own private militia would actually be subversive to our militia in supporting the Constitution. And the only reason why people would actually do this would be to actually revolt. And if you understand what Soros has been doing, I mean, they've been going down this path over the past 5 years or so in empowering and buying and getting these Black Lives Matter and these anarchists armed and starting to give them training so that they can actually go force on force. Well, folks, that right there is a direct insurgency against the Constitution. all people need to be in service. Anybody that's got a weapon and they want to actually do any, you know, any projection of force, if you're not a part of the militia, you're not a part of that organized militia, then you yourself are an insurgent and must be removed. So this is why they've really created this cloudy water in allowing these paradigms and these parasites to actually grow. So anyway, the civilian body, an unorganized militia, cannot be capable of projecting deadly force. They're supposed to, this is their job, they're supposed to be a civilian vigilant force in keeping the people, the public servants and the people in government, the bureaucrats and everybody, in compliance to the Constitution. Their weapon and design is the First Amendment petition. Isn't that a beautiful thing? In other words, this is a peace force. So here are the petitions that we have regarding this. Restore federal funding for organizing, arming, and equipping the militia, and that the members of the militia must be properly equipped with armament and weaponry to engage a light to medium force conflict. In other words, the type of projection of force, they need to be able to basically suppress any type of insurrection, as well as an invasion of, you know, Chinese, Japanese, or anybody. And that the strategic study must be done. So you have to understand that you don't have, you know, all this weaponry, you know, sitting on base somewhere. That the weaponry must be resident with the individual members. In other words, you have to, if you've got a mortar, if you're a mortarman or what have you, whatever the needs are, but every county should have the fundamental needs to be able to basically suppress a light to medium type of military force. And so we actually have to start understanding what these strategic needs are so that we can actually defend from threats of civil unrest to invading armored forces. I mean, we've got a job. We've got a responsibility of guarding our liberties, and a part of that is actually arming, equipping, and disciplining the militia. It's right there in the Constitution. They have that responsibility to do this. So we have to restore that. So that's the first petition regarding the militia. And as a matter of fact, if the light hasn't clicked in your head as we go through some of these petitions, who would be writing these petitions? Well, why don't you go to these patriot organizations? And in this particular case, why don't you go to militia leaders and say, you should be the owner of this militia, this petition, because you're a subject matter expert. You know what you need, and you should be able to articulate what you want and everything else. Right? That makes absolute sense. Get them involved and get everybody to start supporting all of these constitutional movements by bringing them into this county constitutional compliance committee. If you understand the genesis of the constitutional compliance committee, it actually creates your unorganized militia. It's that simple. Ta-da! Anyway, the next one, which is actually 69, this is our 69th petition that we've covered so far on the air. Counties need to establish and deploy a funded office that establishes an unorganized militia calling upon all citizens of the county to support and defend the Constitution using educational campaigns on who, what, and why all citizens have a responsibility to hold their public servants accountable to the Constitution, noting those who choose not to support the Constitution. In other words, let's keep it clear here, folks. We need to know all of the people in our community who aren't on board with supporting the Constitution, who aren't willing to die and defend and support our Constitution. Because if they're not willing to do it, then they're not willing to be citizens, and they shouldn't be here. Does that make sense? I think everybody starts to need to understand that our society is developed on a symbiotic relationship between all members of our society. You can't just live here and bask in freedom under the powers of an elite group of people that you believe will be incorruptible. The day you start investing that kind of power to people, they become corrupt. It's only been proven. This is how we're in this position. If you want to undo all of these things, we all have a job to do, and we all have to do our job, period. That's the only way we're going to get out of this. So anyway, when we come back, I'll wrap up this 69th petition. We have the 70th petition, and then we'll get into common law, bail, fines, punishments, the Fifth Amendment, and so forth. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so let me finish up 69 because I was just about done. We also, as I was saying, we also need to note those who choose not to support the Constitution, who choose not to defend the Constitution. So we absolutely have to make sure that we know not just our public servants, but those in our community who choose not. We have to make clear, we have to make allowance, because what we don't want is we do not want Salem witch hunts going after people to say, well, because you do this, then, because that's the last that we want. We don't want people to leap to conclusions that these people are insurgents. They may actually have a conscientious objection, and we have to actually go through the process of doing that. But how do you do that? How do you actually go through this process? Well, and the best way to do this so that we can come up to, I will just say, a clearer understanding is by using common law courts. And you can't just allow one common law court to weigh the issue. And what I mean by this is because you can actually have groupthink in disparate counties. Because you may have a large group of people that are Amish in one particular county. You may have people that have a religious paradigm or an ideological paradigm of pacifism. And so they may not be, you know, in line or in sync and not even willing to be, you know, have a militia and those types of things. And I'm going, well, okay, so what do you do? What do you do if everybody in that county is Amish and they refuse to defend themselves? Well, we have to start establishing common law courts to determine what is, you know, what do we do with these folks and what they can do and what they must do, because they may not be willing to pick up a gun, but they still have to be able to support liberty, or they could, because if a whole county, if the majority of the county 80, 90% of a county is pacifist and they refuse to do their civil duty, then I think the county may be in jeopardy of being able to maintain itself as a county anymore. It may need to be swallowed up by a couple of counties around it. Hopefully, those counties absolutely have enough, and I'll call them patriots and vigilant citizens, that understand their duty. But we have to really start looking at, you know, the makeup. But this all comes out of common law courts. And common law courts, not just in the vicinage, when we start looking at a societal issue. In other words, when we start looking at a societal issue like conscientious objection and being able to ensure that people who have legitimate conscientious objections, and what is a legitimate conscientious objection? Well, I mean, it's okay if you say, I won't do this. If you can't be a citizen of the United States if you can't take the oath of citizenship. And that oath of citizenship requires that you support and defend the Constitution and willing to take up arms and or at least serve and follow orders and do what is necessary. And so we have to come to that understanding. And everybody, if they're saying, you know what, I don't want to be a U.S. citizen anymore, then okay, fine, you can't vote. And the reason why we have to reevaluate whether counties should exist anymore is because you actually may lose a lot of citizens in your county just because they think that, you know, they don't want to be a part of the government like that. They don't want to be that ultimate check on government. You know, they'd rather be pacifists. Well, there's some risks with this. Because if you have, you know, that level of passivity, well, I shouldn't say that because, you know, usually people that are truly pacifist, they won't be throwing rocks. But anarchists, they claim on, you know, on being a pacifist, but they're out there throwing rocks and malty cocktails. Anyway, we have to use common law courts. And I just wanted to make sure we injected this, that the common law courts would actually be the measure in, you know, clarifying who, what, why, how, in the county, and actually even determine whether the county can exist. Now, you may have a county so far, you know, off its rails by this paradigm or ideology that the other counties within the state would actually have to even it out to help, you know, get to where, whether the county should exist or not. Because bottom line, you can't have a county in America that does not have people, enough people to actually sustain it and support the Constitution. You may have a lot of inhabitants over there, and that's okay. But what we have to do is we have to make sure, because let's be clear here. We have a whole world that has been benefiting off of the toil, work, and the taxation that pays for America policing the world. When we have people in our society that are inhabitants, do you think that their tax should be the same, equal, or should it be different? Do you think that they're benefiting by living in a society that is governed by its people and not being a part of that governing? They're not putting in the same sacrifice. They're not doing the same things. I'm proving a point here, folks, that you if you want to be here, it's going to come at a greater cost to you financially than it would to us, because we're actually contributing more in just not in taxes, but with our time and consecrating our time and service to ourselves, to our government. And these are things that we actually have to be looking at, so that when we move forward, you know, we're already on top of this, so that we don't have, and I don't want to call them leeches. I mean, these people may be very deserving of their conscientious objection and all these other things, but there is a cost that they create, you know, in having to guard, police, and, you know, give them the protections that they deserve. So their property taxes may be greater. They may not have some immunity. They're not guaranteed immunities under the Constitution anyway. Anywho, these are all really important things that we have to understand when we have a society that embraces all of this stuff. And for it to be civil, for it to be just and for it to be merciful, we have to put all of these things on the table. The 70th, the last petition that we have here, is that all people in the county need to serve. Now, again, all citizens. I need to change this, and I'm going to do that. All citizens in the county need to serve in civil jury pools. In other words, we've talked about having a jury pool for judging the biasness of, let's say, our media, our presses, our platform. We need to have a civil jury to judge the determination on our infrastructure services. Are we getting what we need? Are they delivering? You know, I'll just say this. They're working on a bridge. They've been working on this bridge since we moved up here in 2015. This bridge has been in need of repair, and they're actually taking it and they've blocked traffic on it, you know, in one direction using lights and so forth. And they've just opened up the new lane that they've poured. It's all concrete. And I cannot believe how divoty, yeah, I mean, when we drive across this concrete, it is, you couldn't cut a diamond. If you remember that old sales commercial where you could cut a diamond, you know, in the back of this car, actually, I think it was a Cadillac commercial or some car commercial. Somebody of a baby boomer will remember what car commercial that was where this guy, you know, was cutting a diamond. My point is that I can't believe what a crappy surface they put down on this bridge. I mean, you'd think because they had unattested access, that would be as smooth as silk. Because what happens if you have pots and you have all of this uneven surface? Well, what happens is in the wintertime, it allows water to actually collect in these little pockets and you know, these uneven areas. And what does water do? When it freezes, it actually expands and it seeps into the little pores and cracks of the concrete. And next thing you know, you've got to repair the bridge again. And I can't believe what a shoddy job they're doing. So this committee, remember in this unorganized militia, we have all these committees. Well, in restoring and creating this civil vigilance committee that's being funded by the county now, they'll actually, you know, have a citizen pool. And in the people that are serving in those, in these pools of, let's say, you know, infrastructure, media, and so forth, the people that serve in that on a regular basis, as well as going into the studies and making judges and judgments and so forth, those people don't have to be involved in, if they're doing it, while they're doing it, they can't be pulled into court jury duty. Now, what happens is if you get out of that, you know, after so much time in service, then you get eligible or you actually have to do that. But we have to remove these little protections from people not being held accountable in service by, you know, saying, oh, well, if you don't register to vote, then you don't have to do these things. No, if you're a U.S. citizen, whether you're registered to vote or not, you have to be in these civil jury pools if you are a U.S. citizen. And so all of these pools will basically overlook health care, property, infrastructure, elections, common law courts, and their operations, education, the operations of the public and private commerce corporations, businesses, and so forth, and constitutional compliance even. Everyone has a duty to ensure that all government and private services and operations are not violating the Constitution or the citizens' rights, which is why it is so important that you go and take a look at the unorganized militia structure chart. And that is right there on our Take Action page. So we just wrap this up. We're going to get into common law, bails, fines, punishment, or we may actually skip into something different. We might go by, yeah, it looks like we'll get into some amendments instead. In our next episode, we'll surprise you with the 7th, the 5th, and all of these other amendments. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in
in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.